It was the 1968.
There we go.
1968 Olympics, which were in Mexico. There's a man that was running in the marathon that year. His name was John Akwari from Tanzania, and he was so excited to be able to participate in the Olympic Games, a big deal for him to make it. It was the marathon, it was the event, so a long run, 26 miles, something to that effect. I don't even like to drive that far, let alone run that far. Well, Akwari made it 18 miles and things were going fine, but then he began to hurt. His muscles were hurting badly. In fact, after about another mile, he couldn't run any longer and fell over and laid down on the ground. After a few moments of him laying there, some of the officials came over and were helping him out and encouraging him to stop running, because it was apparent at this point that he wasn't going to be able to without inflicting more pain on himself. But he pushed them aside, got up, and began to run the race. As a matter of fact, he finished. By the time he finished, the stadium that at the beginning was full now only had about 1,000 people left. But here, hours after his competitors finished, Akwari finally crossed the finish line. Reporter went to Akwari and said, "Why didn't you just drop out? It wouldn't have been a big deal. People understood that you were in great pain." Akwari told the reporter, he said, "My country didn't send me here to start the race, but to finish the race." We're talking about one things in this sermon series for Sunday evenings. Today we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3, and our one thing comes from verse 13. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi, and he writes, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Paul wants to finish the race. That's his one thing, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. He's going to press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Go back to verse 12 in Philippians 3. He writes, "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." It's good for us to get a little bit of context here. I'm going to emphasize a few words here in this passage. He says, "Not that I have already obtained all this." Then he says, "Or have already arrived at my goal," or "press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me." "I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." And then he says, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize." So we ask the question, what is the this, the goal, the that, the it, and the prize which Paul is referring in these verses? Well, if you go back to verses 10 and 11, I think we get at what he's referring to. He writes there, "I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." So Paul says that he wants to know Christ. He wants to experience this future resurrection that's in store for the people of God. And Paul's mission and identity, it's rooted in this knowledge of Christ and the truth that Jesus will in fact return. There is a resurrection in store. And so Paul uses in verses 12 through 14 this running metaphor for the pursuit of Christ. The folks in Philippi being a Roman colony, would have been very familiar with racing. It would have been part of their Roman culture. And so you can imagine that they could get this picture in their mind as Paul talks about the Christian journey being like a race. And of course, in other places in Scripture, Paul uses the same metaphor to talk about running the Christian race. He says in verse 12, "I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." I'm going to focus on this statement here. "Christ took hold of me," Paul says. Of course, he encounters Christ on the road to Damascus. And upon this encounter, Paul now has this new hope. And more than a new hope, he has a new mission, a new identity. Of course, Paul is going to go from being one who persecutes Christians to one who is proclaiming the gospel, that is reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul becomes a missionary for the sake of the gospel. He's taken hold of by Jesus. He has this new purpose. It's incredible. Persecutor of Christians to one that's promoting the gospel. It's important for us to remember that, like Paul, for those of us who are in Christ, we have been taken hold of Christ first. We couldn't respond to the call if we hadn't been called first. And this, of course, is grace. It's mercy that we have been called. And then, like Paul, we take hold of that. Paul, based on this encounter, begins to strive to live a God-honoring, Christ-serving kind of life. And for him, it means traveling around the world, that part of the world, telling others about Jesus. For him, that's pressing on. That's being taken hold of by Christ. It's living obediently to him. Paul's world was rocked in his encounter with Jesus, and it's so incredible to see how he's consumed with preaching and sharing Jesus with others. And Paul says in verse 13, he makes this assessment about himself, about where he is. He says, "I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." Paul, of course, we could obviously say he hasn't obtained resurrection yet, although he's living a resurrection-shaped life. But there's this future event that's out there somewhere. And so Paul, understanding that there's more to come, he says, "I'm going to press on," recognizing that there's more to come. And so here's this metaphor. He's running the race. Earlier in chapter 3, Paul emphatically taught that righteousness comes through Jesus Christ alone. Remember, it's not based on genealogy or these religious accolades, but that righteousness and hope and salvation, forgiveness, all of these things, they come through Christ alone. And so you think, with the context here of writing to the church in Philippi, if some of the recipients think that once one possesses the righteousness that comes through Christ, then they can stop growing, say, "Well, I've got all that I need," so they can stop growing, stop running. Paul says, "No, not how it works. It's for me. I'm going to continue to press on in the faith. I'm not going to rest on my laurels," so to speak. He says, "I've got work to do." As a matter of fact, I've heard it said this way. Paul, at this point, he's not working for his salvation. He's working, preaching, teaching because of his salvation. It reminds me of what he says earlier in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." That's what we see. He's been taken hold of by Christ in the gospel, and it's shaping the way that he lives to the point of traveling around, being a proclaimer of the good news to others. So Paul says, "I'm not going to stop running, and you shouldn't stop running either. And then he says, forgetting what is behind. This is in verse 13. Forgetting what is behind. We know, again, that Paul was, in his past, was bent on gaining this righteousness through his own actions and privileges. Now, it's not that way. He's consumed by Christ. He's pressing on to a future resurrection, right? He's going to let go of what's in his past. This reminded me of the movie Frozen, and I was like, then I had Let It Go in my head, so I won't sing that for you now. I'm sure Daryl could give us a good rendition of it. Don't look back. He says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what's ahead. This idea of straining is this urging, this pushing, this hard work towards something. I think it's important that we remember what Paul says here about forgetting what's behind. Each day in Christ is a clean slate. So we wake up every morning saying, okay, got a race to run today. How am I going to run it? Am I going to run it at all? It's good news for us. Even if we've messed up, we've stumbled like our worry did, and get up, we can continue to run, forgetting what is behind. We've made mention already of Paul's past, right? He's going to put that behind him. He's going to run toward a future goal and prize. I'm going to skip down to verses 20 and 21 for a moment in Philippians 3. Paul writes there, he says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body. So he says our citizenship is in heaven. As I've already mentioned, Philippi is a Roman colony. It's governed by Roman law instead of native custom. And so those who were actually governing Philippi lived in Rome. They lived elsewhere. For the church in Philippi, they live in Philippi, right? Their address is somewhere on earth, so to speak. But as Christians, as a church, they are a colony of heaven. Their governing body, if you will, we can play this out a little bit, is from elsewhere. Their king is elsewhere. And their hope, their mission, how they are to live, is coming from God who is in heaven. Your allegiance is to heaven. It's not truly to Philippi. And so Paul is urging them to have their minds set on heavenly things, not earthly things, just like he says in Colossians 3, 1 and 2. And when your minds are set on things of heaven, the hope is, the goal is, that we will be transformed doing what God desires us to do. Paul says, we eagerly await a Savior from there. And so as we live lives that are consumed with Jesus, there is this incredible hope. He's coming back for us. Take heart. Continue to press on. There's more to come. And by Jesus' authority and power, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. There's more hope. There's more to come. And so we got this one thing about Paul forgetting what is behind and pressing on to what's in the future. You've got this goal, the goal to attain the resurrection that is coming. And I think to have that hope shape how we live today. Think of it in those terms ever. Our hope in the future ought to shape the way that we live today. Is it? Paul is bent on serving Jesus and running the race that Jesus has called him to live. His goal is Jesus. His strength is Jesus. His purpose is given to him by Jesus. We know Paul had difficulties, all kinds of challenges. We could say he stumbled from time to time. He was beaten. He was hungry, worked hard, he was unjustly arrested. Yet, what we see with Paul is he keeps running the race. You know, these Fitbits? Oh, yeah, I think it's kind of interesting. I'm going to try to apply this to running the Christian race. We'll see how this goes. So, I don't have a Fitbit. Ask Whit about his Fitbit story sometime. So it calculates your steps, right? And so I wonder about what it would be like if we had a Fitbit that was like calculating our steps when it came to running this Christian race, you know? And the steps that counted, what was calculated there on our Fitbit were the steps in which we were bringing glory and honor to God. I wonder what would be on our Fitbit. You know, and I think about that in my own life. What am I doing in how I'm running the race that declares the praises and glory of God? What am I doing like Paul that is demonstrating that I am just consumed by Christ, by preaching his message, sharing the good news with others? And so imagine that you were wearing a Fitbit that was calculating your steps as you're running the Christian race. What would that read? What would it say about how you're running that race? I love what Theodore Roosevelt said, and I've shared this quote before. It's a very well-known statement. He says, "It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly." Of course, I'm not going to change the quote, but instead of saying the credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, maybe we could say the credit belongs to the one who is in the race, who is running, who is doing like Paul, and is pressing on toward the prize that God has called us to. Are you pressing on toward the goal to win the prize? I want to encourage you with these words this evening. The Son paved the way for this race in the first place. His word is the direction. If we want to know how to run, where to run, we find it in the word. Fellow Christians, this is kind of cool. We got our Fitbits on. We think, I'm never going to run a marathon. I'm pretty positive that I'm not going to. But what I've heard is that I can just almost promise you that. But what I've heard, if you're going to run a marathon or a half marathon, one of the best things that you can do is get a group together, and then you all run together, train together. You have built-in accountability. You have someone to encourage you. I've heard you can talk along the way to make the hours of running go better. Well, as we run this Christian race, we are not running alone. We have co-runners. We have those that are to encourage us, to keep us accountable, to help us moving in the right direction. And so maybe we could even say we have cheerleaders along the way. One day, we'll say, or our hope is that we'll be able to say, along with the Apostle Paul, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Paul said that. And of course, our goal and part of this prize is to hear the Father say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Paul says, "One thing I do, forgetting what's behind and pressing on to what's ahead." One thing that Sarah and I love to do Have I mentioned that I'm not going to run a marathon? I've loved watching them and like actually going. If you've never gone and actually stood along the road as people are running a marathon, it's a very encouraging thing. I mean, they've got tears, no smiles or anything. Everybody along the road is just happy and enjoying the time. So I'm like, I know which side I want to be on. But toward the finish line, incredibly encouraging to hear people cheering on loved ones and friends as they have just almost completed an incredible feat of running that long. I mean, just, you know, way to go, attaboy, attagirl, proud of you, that kind of stuff. I mean, I get fired up hearing that. As we run this race, forgetting what is behind, pressing on toward what's ahead, we've got the church, right? It's cheering us on as we do this. We also have, like we read in the Hebrews chapter 12, we have a cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before us, that cheer us on. Here you go. Let's do this. You can do it. There's an incredible prize in store for you as you press on in the race. Paul said, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and pressing on toward what is ahead. So let's together continue to press on toward the prize. If there's anybody here tonight that needs the prayers of the church family, we're here to pray for you. You let us know what's going on. We'd be glad to pray with you and for you. And whoever has the closing prayer, if you'd remember Leela in your prayer, she came forward this morning asking for prayers for herself, her family, and her husband. But tonight, you certainly let us know, and we'd be glad to pray with you and for you. Maybe this evening you're ready to give your life over to Jesus in baptism. We'd love to witness you do that this evening. So whatever need you have, you can come forward now as we stand and continue to worship our God.